Blog Talk Radio.
The gift that looks good on you.
You were born with a grace.
The gift that looks good on you.
That grace is your gift.
The gift that looks good on you.
It's a divine enablement.
The gift that looks good on you.
If you work your grace, the grace will work for you. Company, teach the lesson.
The systems of the world will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were designed
to
make you doubt what heaven says.
Don't you doubt.
The systems of the world
these systems
will try to take your confidence.
Yes, they will.
For these systems were designed
to
make you sit down on your ears.
Don't you let.
But the gift God gave to you,
this gift,
give it back to him.
Offer it up.
When he sees it operating,
yes. Offer it up.
For the gift it will make room.
Uh-huh.
Position for breaking in the kingdom. The gift it looks good on you.
Your gift?
It looks good on you.
Looking good.
The gift it looks good on you.
I say your gift.
It looks good.
Yeah.
The gift it looks good on you.
Work your grace.
It looks good on you.
My gift works for me.
The gift it looks good.
Yeah.
And you wear it
and
well.
And you're wearing your gift well.
God has
graced you. All right, coach, help me out. You wear it?
You wear it well. You wear it well.
God has graced
you. God has graced you. And you wear it well.
Everybody in right here, come on.
You wear it well.
You wear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good on you.
Yeah.
It looks good on you.
Say it again.
The gift, it looks good on you.
Your gift works for you.
It looks good.
Tell somebody, just be you.
The gift, it looks good on you. It looks good on you.
Can't be a better you than you.
Good.
And you wear.
And you wear it well.
God has graced you.
God has graced you. And
come
you
on, let's take it up.
Well.
Out.
It looks good on you.
Yeah.
It looks good on you.
Y'all wearing alto wear.
It looks good on you.
Say it again. Yeah.
It looks good.
With attitude. Soprano wear.
The gift, it looks good on you.
Your grace in that area.
It looks good on you.
Work your grace.
The gift, it looks good. And you wear it well.
God has graced you to sing the praise.
God has
graced
you.
Come on.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That gift, it looks good on you. And guess what? You wear it well. You wear it well. Amen. Glory to God. I am here excited again. You know, something about life. And when you wake up with your mind stayed on Jesus, when you wake up and you think about the goodness of the Lord, when you wake up and you think about how far God have brought you, glory to God. I don't know about you, but I get excited. I get excited. How about you? I get excited just knowing that God is with me. I get excited just knowing that I'm moving by his spirit and I'm able to do some things that God have called and asked of me. Amen. Amen. We just want to thank everyone again for tuning in to this awesome life, this awesome life that God has given us. Amen. Glory to God. We want to say thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed, hallelujah, to be a blessing, where we are set apart for the master's use. How about you? This is Pastor Prophetess Teresa Docks, and I am here live at 5. Glory to God. Amen. Well, let's lift up a word of prayer, and I want to encourage you to get your Bibles. I want to encourage you to be thirsty for the word of God. I want to encourage you to let no good thing be withheld from you because you're walking uprightly. Amen. There's nothing like the Lord, King Jesus. There's no one like the Lord. Amen. There's no one like the Lord. God is good. Well, we're going to lift up a word of prayer, and we're going to ask you to get your Bibles out, and let's get ready. Let's get ready for another episode of Live at 5 and Thirsty for the Word of God. Let's get thirsty. We've been talking about spiritual strategies for warfare, and we've been teaching on how to deal with the enemy and how to recognize the enemy and how to know when he's moving and how to know and, you know, what needs to be done. We've been talking about total recovery. You know, we've been talking about all of the things that would make us not be thirsty. Amen. You know, that we would be filled. So we have to empty ourselves in order to be filled. Amen. Because if we're already filled up, glory to God, we can't get filled. Amen. So I want to just say to everyone on the line, have a teachable spirit and be thirsty for more. Just get thirsty for more. Amen. Get thirsty for more. Amen. Bless God. I'm just going to play just a part of this song, and I'll be right back. You know, the enemy don't want me to go forth, but we're going forth anyway. We're having a little technical difficulties, but God favors me. Yes, he does. God favors me, and he favors you and all of God's children. Amen. And he will provide. Jesus.
Testimony, everybody, how God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
Love is felt most.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
I had my share of love abuse.
Manipulation.
God, everybody. One more time, everybody, lift your voice all over this world and say, God favors me.
God favors me.
Hallelujah. Yes, God has favored me. God has favored me. I want you to say that. Say that to yourself. Say that to your enemy. Say that to everyone that doesn't see that that gift looks good on you. Amen. Amen. I am, again, excited because I see God's hand moving. I see the things of God manifesting. I see the Bible fulfilling itself. I see even the very elect would be deceived if it was at all possible. I see these things coming to pass, and I'm forever, ever grateful that the Lord is fulfilling his word. Amen. God is doing exactly what he promised that he would do. God is causing the enemy to show his hand so he can show up and show out. Amen. And that's why it's so important that we as believers, we as Christians, we as disciples, we have to use technical maneuvers. We have to use biblical-based foundation so that we can always win, so that we can always win. Because if we begin to operate like the world operates, we will be equivalent to the world. See, Satan strategized to try to overtake the people of God. Amen? He tries to deceive the people of God. So what you hear on TV, what you see at the movies, the propaganda, the different type of messages that's being put in the people's ear gate, understand that Satan is the prince of this world. Amen. And he's the little g of this world. He's the god of this world. So our hope and our happiness and our joy and our strength, it has to come from the things of the kingdom. It has to be biblical based. We have to use, I'll say, scriptural counter strategies to overcome his deceptive tactics. See, he used these techniques, but we have to be wise. The Bible says, wise as a serpent. Why? So that we can use counter strategies. So when Satan used these techniques, it'll never work. He'll always lose. Because we're always a day early, not a day late, but we're always early, but we're on time. And that when he comes and when he uses the things that he uses, that we won't get frustrated and we won't be fearful. Because that's what he used to try to make us fearful, because he understands that fear is the opposite of faith. Because the Bible says that we can please God, I want you to hear me, by our faith. And God is not a God of fear. Amen? So if God is not a God of fear, hallelujah, then when fear is in our spirit, we know that is not God. Amen? We know that it's not God. Glory to God. So if you have anything associated with fear, know that it's not God's doing. It's not God. We operate in faith. We operate in scriptural behavior. Glory to God. Well, Father, we just thank you for your awesomeness. We thank you because you're always on time. We thank you, Lord God, that you said in your word that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And you said, God, that every single tongue that rises up against us in judgment is already condemned. Father, you said in your word, Lord God, that if we keep our minds stayed on you, Lord God, you said that you would lead and guide and direct us, God. So, Father, we just thank you right now for your awesome ways, your awesome power. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, God, that you would keep our minds stayed on you, that when the enemy comes to overtake us, Father, that you would always cause us to be conquerors, more than conquerors. God, we know the greater that's in us is more than he that's in the world, because what's in us is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. So, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you would rain down an overflow of an abundance of blessings of love and peace and understanding and revelation knowledge. Give us rhema word, Father, so that we can not only hear the word, but it will be a now word, and we'll receive it, and we'll move it in God's speed, Lord God, that we'll do what you called us to do. So we thank you for it. I ask you to open the minds and the hearts of your people, that not only will we hear the word, but we will be doers, hallelujah, of the word of God. So, Father, this we ask and this we thank you for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, glory to God. I'm telling you, it's 26 hour, and the lines were doing whatever they wanted to do. The broadcast was cutting on and off. But I'll tell you what, if you don't quit, if you keep pressing, you will accomplish the goal. Everything that God set before you, you'll be able to accomplish it. Amen. We're talking about spiritual strategies for warfare. Glory to God. And I want you to know that what God is doing, that he's allowing his people to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because he has wiles. He has tricks. He's crafty. He's deceitful. And he has a strategy. And even with COVID, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Because the word of God is to do exactly what God sent it out to do. The Satan strategy is to make us all afraid, to make us fearful. You know, and as I was doing some studying and reading and listening to different teachings about COVID, you know, so I heard the Holy Spirit say, and ye shall drink any deadly thing, and it won't harm you. You hear a lot of Christians, and I'm going to say believers, is afraid of the virus, the vaccine, and they won't take it. Well, to each his own. And you know, we are in a point in our life that we have to respect other people's opinion and what they feel. And if they're fearful that this is going to be something that's going to be against what God has for us, or if they believe that taking us to the new world order, if they believe that this is the Antichrist, and they believe that this is signs of the enemy, you know, a lot of people have different belief factor when it comes to the vaccine. But one of my friends said to me, I'm going to take my vaccine and I'm going to believe God. And like I said, that's one of my friends. Amen. So I feel that if you have fear, don't take it. Amen. But if you have faith, you can have faith and don't take it, and you can have faith and take it. So don't be judgmental. If a person says, should we get vaccinated? While many people see vaccine as a normal part of life, you know, you couldn't go to school if you didn't get it, so you got vaccinated. Polio, cow disease, you took the shot, you took the shot. And there are many who don't hold this view. But the real view of vaccination is not one of right or wrong, but it's one of personal choice and preference. So when asking, should Christians get the vaccine, we cannot make this a question of sin or judgment or condemnation. But in other words, you are not sinning if you get vaccinated, and you are not sinning if you don't. So let me give you biblical reference so that we can use this as a guideline to help everyone on the line and those that will listen later as you think about this topic. I mean, don't get into it with no one. Don't, you know, if they want you to wear their, you know, a mask in their presence, wear it. And if you don't want to wear a mask, don't be in their presence. Hallelujah. But listen what it says in Romans 14, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. See, one person's faith allowed them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eat only vegetables. This is the Bible. I'm not making this up. I'm reading this from the Word. And the one who eats everything must not treat the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Hallelujah. That's Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. I want to encourage you, before you get into any type of debate, find out what the Word says about it. Amen. Find out the Word says about it. Amen. So take note of that scripture and, you know, give it to someone that may need it. You know, tell them. We're not going to have a debate about whether you vaccinated or not. And here are three ways that this can be applied in relationship to vaccine. See, whether we believe Christians should get a vaccine or you are on the other side, this is an issue that can be disputed. You know, some people like to talk about it. And, you know, I would encourage you to follow what Paul said, Paul's advice. And I just read it. And don't make any issue that you're going to have to quarrel about, because you fall into the enemy's territory. Amen. And then you begin to debate. And before you know it, it becomes personal. You don't have time for that, because people are dying and going to hell. People are in need of your gift. So that's a distraction. So don't turn a decision of personal choice into an issue of right and wrong. Amen. Make your own choice. Don't let nobody make that choice for you. Don't let your leadership make it. Your mama, your daddy, your husband, your wife, you make that choice yourself by visiting the the altar and get the heart of God. And he said, I will lead you, I will guide you, and I will direct you into all truth. Amen. The first point, I said, I'll give you three that applies to a relationship to vaccines. One, it is a disputable matter. Amen. And then the second point is, accept the one whose faith is weak. Because Paul, what did he say? I know you say, look, I ain't take the vaccine. It's not my faith weak. But let me read what Paul said again. He said, accept the one whose faith is weak. Because, see, people don't take it because they think it's going to harm them. So they don't have faith. They don't have faith that the vaccine is going to do what it's supposed to do. And Paul said, without quarreling over that disputed matter. So accept the one whose faith is weak. And let me give you a scenario of what I'm saying. The one who get it could be the one with the weak faith. Amen? It could be vice versa. And then it could be the other side. It's true as well. Meaning the one who don't get the vaccine could be the one whose faith is weak. But regardless to how you feel, your personal view, your personal stand about the vaccine, if someone feels differently, you should not judge them or treat them with contempt. See, this word contempt means not to despise a person or show a disdain or distasteful toward them. So in this matter, you should accept the one whose opinion is different than yours. And I think you should, you would agree that showing contempt or judgment helps no one. And it's not tasteful. It's not a display of godly character. Amen. Amen. So, and then the third point, God has accepted all of us. So God has accepted them. So the most important thing to remember is that the one that's making the vaccination decision are not your servants. Amen. They are God's servants. So whether you agree with their decision or not, God will accept them regardless to how and what choice they choose. And you should do the same. Amen. I'm just trying to make it plain. So we can understand that, like, there's different denominations, there's different genders, there's different policies and procedures. It's just different choices and different strokes for different folks. So what does the Bible say about our health? Listen, as far as our health is concerned, one thing to remember about our bodies, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's see, verses 19. Amen. Now I'm going to take the time just to read it because I want every single thing that I say to be biblical based and that you can go back to the word and you can find it. And then I pray that when you find it, that you get an understanding. Amen. Because you hear people say, I didn't read the whole Bible, but do you understand? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? And when you have received from God, you are not your own. So your body doesn't even belong to you. So we're responsible to take care of our bodies as best as we can and not to abuse them. And what Paul was talking about, he was making reference to sexual immorality. But this principle, it can apply to being abusive to your body, whether it's overeating, whether it's not getting your rest, whether it's, being abusive with drugs. So let's make it clear, saying that the vaccine is abusive. But what I'm saying is that God wants us to be mindful of how we treat our temples that he has given us. Whether we drink our wine, whether we smoke our weed, tobacco, we do snuff. It's the whole nine yards. So I want you to just be mindful that this is something that God has allowed, and the God of this world is here to deceive the people of God, whether to take the vaccine or whether not to take the vaccine. You see videos that show scientific why you should take it, scientific meaning why you shouldn't take it. And so now you got to make your call and election sure, and you have to be able to discern what's God and what isn't God. Amen. Because the Bible says a man weighs seeing right in his own eyes, but in the end there's destruction. What do you do with that? Amen, amen. But listen to this. Some people say, well, I'm exempt from taking the vaccine. That's my religious belief. Does the Bible support religious exemption? I asked you the question. See, the idea of religion or religious exemption, it's choosing to not take a vaccine for religious purposes. When you take the flu shot, you don't know what's in it. When you take any kind of shot, I don't think that you take the time and to study all the components that's in that shot. The average person doesn't do that. So hypothetically speaking, we're told that the COVID-19 vaccination changes our DNA. And that when we get the shot, that it takes your DNA and your RNA and it produces a protein. And that protein is going to alter the genetic code in your body, so they say. And so the whole message that's being sent out is that you're gonna get this vaccination. And then some people say you're going to be dead in 3 years, 2 years, so on and so forth, that people are going to get cancer down the line. All this is fear tactics, because it's by faith that we believe the word of God. I choose to believe the word of God. I choose to stand on his promises. I choose to believe that if I take that vaccination, that what was meant for evil, it's going to be turned around for my good. Amen. So if I slip and miss it, that God is going to cause a ricochet effect, and it's not going to do any harm to me to believe that. Now, that's my choice, and that's my belief. And we have our own freedom to think and believe whatever we want to believe. But some people think about whether Christians should get vaccinated. They claim this is their religious exemption. But the truth is, you could probably use the Bible to support taking a vaccine. You could also probably use it to support not taking one. So even though people can claim a religious exemption, the decision is still a personal one. So even if you use the scripture to defend your position, it will still come down to personal conviction. I mean, some people are just followers. They didn't make their mind up. They just listened to somebody. Go to the altar. Go to the throne room and allow God to lead you. Remember, it's not sinful to get vaccinated. and it's not sinful not to get vaccinated. So should Christians get vaccinated or not? You know, part of the debate with the vaccine is balance. Is balancing the good of the person with the good of the community. Amen. See, sometimes we just think about ourselves. So we don't think about the community. We don't think about the elderly. You know, you got people that's all in the elderly face and they don't wear a mask, but they always in people's face, and next thing you know, the person's sick and the person's gone. Now you're looking crazy. You know, so you have to look at what's good for you with the good of the community. See, the Bible is about community. It's not just about us. It's about other people. It's about what's, I can say, well, you know what? I don't need to get the vaccine because I'm good. But then I can also think about what I am around and who I am around, whether their immune system is built up enough to take it, or they have these underlying disease, and I can get sick and be all right, but they get sick and they don't make it. Let's just make it plain. You know, it's all about other people. So you make choices so that it can also be good for you and good for every community. Amen. I didn't know I was going this route, but the Lord have led me to take this. So if you think that taking the vaccine, should Christians do it or not, that's, you know, that's up to you. But I believe this is the one argument that medical professionals use as to why we should get vaccinated. They have been proven to stop the spread, you know, that if you get vaccinated, that it will good for the person and the good of the community, and they have shown that it will stop the spread of the virus. But some of us so inconsiderate. Now, this is my opinion. Paul didn't say it. I said it. Because I'm a nurse, and with my degree, and, you know, it's, I just know that it stops the spread. And if you think back 100 years ago, many of the diseases that kill people then have been eradicated with science and with medicine and the use of vaccines. So if you're going to argue for the good of the community, then you can argue that Christians should take the vaccine because it could fall under the command of loving your neighbor as yourself. See, I mean, we got arguments. We can go deep. But however, there's a large and a growing segment of Christians in the world who feel the opposite of this conviction. You know, for this reason, there's no way to say definitely that a Christian should or should not get vaccinated. And I think it's important for everyone to do their own due diligence, being a nurse, you know, and to be convinced what they think is the right thing to do. I know that this may be anti-climatic. I mean, I think it might be a response that some people don't want to hear, but I don't see how we can come to any other conclusion on your own viewpoint or subject. You know, as Paul said in Romans, allow people to make up their minds and accept them and don't treat them with contempt if their conclusion is different than yours. Amen. That's part of being a mature Christian. You know, it's okay. They don't want to get vaccinated. That's fine. You make choices, they make choices. So you feel like you, someone told me so. I asked them, was they going to put their mask on? And they said, what, your vaccine don't work? You know, and I began to, when they said that to me, I began to make choices. You know, you don't want to wear the mask, fine. You don't have to. But I know I can make choices. So whether you wear the mask or not, I can make choices where I am and where you are. And I'm not mad at you. So why do we need vaccination if God said that he's going to protect us? Why? See, some people or in some circles, there can be a tendency to despise the use of medicine. Did you know that? Some people don't want to take medicine. They want to don't want to use medicine until they get sick or until they die or until they're in pain. They might have been against it all their life. And all of a sudden they say, you know what, give me whatever you got. I'll take morphine. I'll take, you know, okay. But does God protect us? The answer is yes. Yet there are some ways and means that God uses to protect us. God has allowed doctors to do what they do. For example, God will, he'll put his hand into the heart of man to create seatbelts, which protect us in the event of a car accident. Will God protect us? Yes. So he protects us by creating a seatbelt, but he used man to do it. And I think it's not only fair, but safe to say that God does not despise medicine. He used it and he worked through it. See, there are times when God will heal you miraculously without any medical intervention at all. However, God is multifaceted. God will use, he'll use medicine as an intervention to bring healing. Amen? See, we the ones that abuse medicine. There's a spirit called pharmakia. And pharmakia is a spirit that when you have, and that's a whole nother teaching. I'll get back with that later. But the same truth we considered earlier applies here as well. Are you, if you are sick and you go to the doctor, there's nothing wrong with that. Also, you must acknowledge that God give us faith and wisdom. And sometimes we're so full of ourselves that we don't apply the wisdom and the faith together and go to the doctor. I got a good doctor. I love my doctor. I wouldn't give her up for anybody. But my faith is in God, but I trust her that her, she's knowledgeable because she studied the body. See, faith is necessary to believe God can heal you, and wisdom is necessary to understand that he often used medicine to do it. So whether God used the power of medicine or his miraculous power, they both are ways that God used to heal us and to protect us. Amen, amen, and amen. I just say hallelujah. Make it plain. You know, the Bible says write it down and make it plain so those that read it can run with it. So I want to encourage you today. God will protect us, and he'll keep us where we're not deceived by Satan's devices. You know, as I mentioned earlier, there are some who are very much against vaccines, and they have been given a label as anti-vaxxers. And to be an anti-vaxxer may cause a problem in certain scenarios, such as schools and education. And some school districts and colleges, they're requiring vaccination for the kids to attend school. And it's not like because of the one world order. It's because they don't want an infected person to come and infect the whole community. Amen. So it's people and community. It's not all about you. Okay, it's not all about me. So the one word of being cautious, you know, I would offer is to be careful about where you gather your facts. Amen. you have a responsibility to test the information about vaccine that is out there. With the risk of information that's available, and some is true and some is untrue. But let God be the truth and let man be a lie. You know, you have to sort through it to find what's legitimate and what's truth. And you want to make sure that you're making a decision based on the most reliable and the credible information as possible. So the question is, should Christians get vaccinated? Should be an approach like so many other issues that are not black and white issues. Always error on the side of grace. And in closing, granted, there may be some who feel very strongly about this topic. And that's their right. But just make sure that you approach others who may be on the other side of your opinion with grace and accept them as the Bible calls us to do. So we accept their opinion, and we all got one. Amen. But God has the final authority. He said you can drink any deadly thing and it won't harm you. Have faith in God. I love community. And as I love myself, I want to love my neighbor. Amen, amen, amen. Keep us in your prayers, Elder and I, and Kingdom Builders family. I just want to thank everyone for everything that you do, the kindness that you show. We pray, God, blessings on you, your family, and everything that concerns you, because Elder and I are so blessed. Blessings come in from the left and the right. Every time we look around, there's another blessing. Amen. And I want to thank God for my awesome sister. You know, she's pretty much furnishing a vacation for us in October. We got so many things that the Lord is just doing for us. And we're forever grateful. And we want to let everyone on the line know that we love people and we love community. So keep praying for us as we pray for you, and watch the mighty things that God's going to do. Stay safe, stay protected, and stay prayed up, and keep the faith. So, Father, we just thank you as we delight ourselves in you, that you will always give us the desires of our heart. Father, as we keep marching up the King's Highway, that there is no good thing that you're going to withhold from us because we choose to walk uprightly. Father, we thank you that the eyes of the Lord neither sleep nor slumber because of that, Lord God. Father, that you are all-knowing and there's nothing hidden from you. So, Father, as we leave this place, we want to ask you to keep your angels watching over us as we do the work of ministry. Amen and amen. In the name of Jesus, where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. God bless everyone, and stay safe, stay protected, and know what Paul said. It's all going to work together for your good. Don't debate over something that's already settled in heaven. Amen. God bless you. We love you. God bless you. Have a terrific day.
Just see.